What's up, Playlisters? Brian from Playlist Wars here. Just want to let you know that while this show is on hiatus, both Gomez and I have separate shows that are part of the Playlist Wars extended universe, if you will. Gomez has the Sleevey G Show, which you can find at SleeveyGPodcasts.com. And I have a new show entitled My Weekly Mixtape, which you can find over at MyWeeklyMixtape.com. Both shows are also available on all podcast platforms just by searching Sleevey G Show or My Weekly Mixtape. And Playlist Wars will be back soon. Thank you guys so much for your continued support of the show.
This is Aaron Brummett of the Itch Rock Radio and Podcast, and you are listening to Playlist Wars. Let the battle begin.
Welcome to Playlist Wars. I'm part of the dynamic duo. My name is Gomez, and I have my well-established best friend, greatest editor, greatest creator, best at everything, Brian Colburn, with our special guest, Rob Alley from the Great Song Podcast. Welcome, everybody.
What's up? What's up? I love that intro, by the way.
That's really nice.
Well, see, we had a little thing going because I always say well established or whatever I say in the last few shows. Brian goes, why you just tell everybody what I normally do? So there you go, Brian. There's your new introduction.
And now I won't add ums into your voice track for the rest of this episode. Congratulations.
Oh, God.
Oh, this is great. Well, Rob, we have been podcast friends for several years now. It's a pleasure to finally get to do an episode with you. I'm very excited about this one.
Same here. Thanks. It's an honor to be on the rising star of the music podcast world, I feel, Playlist Wars. So really glad to be on with you guys.
Well, considering the number one heavy hitters that you've had on your show, you are an inspiration to all of us music podcasters. And that doesn't mean we're not going to try very hard to take you down with our Van Halen playlists tonight.
That's right. Please do.
But it's all celebrating the music. So first, before we get started, I want to know why you're excited to talk Van Halen with us tonight.
Oh, man. So if you had to gun to my head, favorite band, I'm going to say Van Halen. And so I don't have an era that I rock with. I'm not a Hagar guy or a Roth guy or a Sharon guy or a Mitch Malloy guy, if you want to even go there. I just love all of Van Halen and have since I was in, middle school, high school, just connected with me in a way that few bands ever have. So Van Halen, this is right up my alley. Pun, I guess, intended, maybe.
There you go. Well, tonight, our show format is pretty simple, like every week. Our topic tonight is the mighty Van Halen, and we've each individually created a playlist with our top 10 favorite tracks, none of which have been shared between the three of us prior to now. Throughout the episode, we'll each reveal our track ones through track tens one by one and craft what we each feel is the perfect Van Halen playlist. After the episode, we turn it over to you, our amazing playlisters, to vote at PlaylistWarsPodcast.com and decide which one of us got it right. Also at PlaylistWarsPodcast.com, you can listen to each one of our playlists, just in case you want to quote-unquote hear where we're coming from with our choices. So without further ado, Rob, why don't you jump right in with your track one?
I like where your head's at. Okay, so a little setup on mine, because this is an impossible task. I know you know this because you do this every episode with some great band or era. But I just to set up where I came from, where my headspace is on my list, I had to think of it like, okay, I'm setting up a 10-song concert with Van Halen. What are the songs that I'm going to walk away going, man, I'm so glad they did that, okay? So this list may be very specific to me. I guess we'll find out when the vote comes in. But I'm kicking it off with my all-time favorite Van Halen track off of the least popular Van Halen album. Well, maybe not the least, but definitely one of the least. Off of Diver Down, Little Guitars is my track one.
Interesting.
Interesting indeed. And I need a ruling. I need to know, just for my own sake, if the intro to Little Guitars, which is technically a separate track, can also be included in my list there.
I'll allow it.
Much appreciated.
It's first on Playlist Wars, everybody, where the special guest asked permission to the truly well-established Brian Colburn. Oh, man. I'm sorry. I can't get enough of this tonight already.
All right, Gomez, Little Guitars, what do you got?
So Little Guitars did not make my list. I wish it did, but it was like, it was in my top 20, let's just say, but it was in the bottom 20 for me.
Okay.
All right. Well, Little Guitars didn't make mine either, but I'll tell my story as to where I came from with my list. Actually, nothing from Diver Down made my list, but if I were to pick a song that was actually bouncing in and out of mine, you're going to laugh when I say it, but Cathedral.
Oh, yeah.
Mm.
Beautiful.
And it's just a gorgeous, gorgeous song. It sounds like a classical piece on guitar. Like what Eddie was doing in that song is just unreal.
Yeah, just gorgeous. One of the greatest, and honestly, of all the really freaking hard stuff that Eddie Van Halen does, Cathedral is one of the hardest. The way that he plays it with his, he's doing the volume the whole time with his finger while he plays. It's just out of this world.
All right, Gomez, with that being said, why don't you kick us off with your track one and kind of where your headspace is at with Van Halen?
All right, so my track one, I do have to say what I did here. I had a hard time choosing between David Lee Roth and Sammy Hagar. Brian and I just had this discussion this afternoon. I was coming home from work, and I'm going to tell you, David Lee Roth and Sammy Hagar, one had the great showmanship of David Lee Roth, and the better singer was Sammy Hagar, and that was my opinion. I know I'll probably get a little rip on that one. Both guys could pull off being in this band. You're talking about two of the greatest showmen, singership, whatever you want to say, in the world.
Front man,
thank you. I'll just tell you, this was very difficult. But with that said, I went with a heavy hitter to open up. Ain't Talk About Love with David Lee Roth. Let me tell you, hearing the guitar in the first riff of the song, and you hear his voice jump in, it just was like a match made in heaven. This song just rocks. It was actually in the Sopranos episode Fortune and Son. It was in an episode for Freaks and Geeks episode Beers and Weirs. The song was formerly used by, if anybody's a huge hockey fan like I am, unfortunately, by the Philadelphia Flyers. It used to be their goal song until the late 90s. And if anybody knows, I am a true video game junkie. And no, it did not make Grand Theft Autos, but it did make Guitar Hero Van Halen. They had a whole game for them and Rock Band 4. So Ain't Talk About Love, track one, that's what I went with.
As you know, the fourth covered that song for many years. I love the tune. There's something about it that I love the story behind the fact that Eddie Van Halen had this riff written as kind of a mockery of the punk rock scene at the time, because it was a two-chord song. And he was hesitant to even bring it to the band. And I'm glad he did, because it is an absolutely fantastic song. It did not make my playlist. However, cover songs, you got to give credit to the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones, who did an awesome version of this in the 90s.
They did.
And I also want to shout out Comfortably Dazed and Trabble Scrabble Death. Both wrote in Ain't Talking About Love to us on Twitter. If you're on Twitter, find us at Playlist Wars and chat with us about the songs. We'll try to get you included in the show and the conversation with us. So two people already chimed in with that one as well. It's a great pick. Unfortunately, did not make my list.
Nor mine. Did not make mine. Although iconic riff, iconic song. It's one of those that may have suffered on my end from, I think there are a few of my sort of playlist omissions that may have just suffered from not overkill, but not far away. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right. So for my track one, this is awesome already because we have three different approaches. Rob went with the concert route. Gomez went with the David Lee Roth, Sammy Hagar approach, which is a very good one. And I sat and thought about this for a very long time because as I was making my playlist, I literally had 25 songs that I just kept moving around. And I'm like, what is the theme here? What do I want to go with? It would be 7-3 Hagar, and then it would be 6-4 David Lee Roth. And I'm going, you know what? What's the one thing that when I listen to Van Halen, I'm listening for the most? And it was Eddie Van Halen. So my playlist is actually structured around my favorite Eddie Van Halen moments in songs, no matter who the singer is. So my opening track comes from 1980's Women and Children First, and I'm going with And the Cradle Will Rock. The song reached number 55 on the Billboard Hot 100, and the song just rocks. I mean, the coolest thing about it, though, most people think that the opening riff is a guitar, and it's actually a Wurlitzer electric piano played through Eddie's 1960s model 100-watt amp with a flanger effect on it. I know that was a lot of nerd talk, but that's not a guitar, is what it boils down to. And it's just one of those songs that gets you pumped up. And honestly, if this was a concert, I would love to hear them open with this one because it just grabs your attention. And I also want to give a shout out to our friend Michael from Michael's Record Collection, who also chimed in with this. So that is my track one, "And the Cradle Will Rock."
I'll tell you, Brian, that's a great pick. And again, that's an honorable mention for me. There were so many great songs, but you're right. But it was difficult to choose. So this one is in my honorable mentions.
Yeah. You know, that would be a fantastic track to open a concert with. Hearing that riff in the dark, and then when the band kicks in, the lights, you know, lights come up, all that stuff, that would be fantastic.
Oh, dude, I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about that.
And this is one of those that, like, to choose 10 songs by a band like Van Halen means that you have to choose fewer than one song per album. You know, it's almost criminal to like have to dwindle it down that far. So, for example, there is nothing from Women and Children First on my list, which is insane, but it had to happen the way I came across. So my list is I'm a people pleaser. I'm like an Enneagram 9. If you guys do any Enneagram, like whatever, it means, you know, I don't want any conflict. Right. So I had to feel like everything was well represented. All eras of Van Halen are represented in my list. And we'll see how that goes as far as the vote goes. But yeah, great choice for an opener, though.
So the next 9 songs from Rob are all from Van Halen 3.
That's
so
right. Yeah, that's it. Little guitars and then just the rest of Van Halen 3.
All right, Rob, we're back to you for track 2.
All right, track 2. I'm sticking with the David Lee Roth era, and I'm just kicking the tempo up a notch. One of my favorite all-time Van Halen songs from actually my least favorite Van Halen album, and I know I'm going to catch some flack for that. The album is Fair Warning. The track is So This Is Love, track 7, I believe, on Fair Warning. It's like a little shuffle boogie kind of thing. It's just so darn happy. It just makes me feel good. I'm in love with the way the drums sound on this track. David Lee Roth is perfect. It's got this just fantastic little guitar solo that's like, oh, hey, I'm Eddie Van Halen, and I'm just going to casually blow your mind on this track and not break a sweat. It's everything you could love about a Van Halen song in the David Lee Roth era. I love it. So This Is Love is my track 2.
Awesome pick. It did not make mine.
I feel like I'm going to hear that a lot tonight.
You might not.
This is one of those songs that truly has the David Lee Roth swagger. And I'm not shocked that this was not brought into the Sammy Hagar era of the band. Because if you listen to the Live Right Here, Right Now album, he did do a lot of David Lee Roth era songs on that album, but it was kind of the bigger hits
yeah,
that he was able to, dare I say, Sammy Hagarize the vocals.
Yeah.
This is one that I don't know if I could picture Sammy singing. It's vintage Dave, and I love it for that. Unfortunately, it didn't make my list, though, but that's nothing bad to say about the song. I love it. So Gomez, track 2, what do you got for us?
Track 2. So now I go to our good buddy, Sammy Hagar. And I wish he sent me a bottle of Cabo Wabo. That would be really nice, but I don't think he'll hear this one.
I'll tag him. Maybe he'll send us a bottle.
Hey, if he does, I mean, I can't wait because I've had it once and it's really good tequila.
If you out there listening would like to help Gomez drink some Cabo Wabo.
But I went with Why Can't This Be Love by Sammy Hagar. Great song. Almost like a cross of hard rock and like a power ballad almost. Like, it's not too heavy, but it's not too soft. It's right there in the middle. And it's kind of funny. I was noticing some of the videos. And if anybody remembers MC Hammer in those baggy-ass pants, Sammy must have loved them in some of those videos. And this was one of them. And actually, matter of fact, it was in another one of the songs I think I picked. He had those baggy pants, man, and he loved them. So I got to give you props and I'll give you credit, man. You rocked those out.
He was not ashamed of the parachute pants, for sure.
No, parachute pants. That's the name of it. Thank you, parachute pants. I couldn't remember.
See, I always remember from that era, the sports, what were they called? Zubas? That looked like stripes, like a zebra stripes, but they were in colors of teams and stuff. Do you remember those?
Oh, yes, 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 I do.
Yeah, they were up right up there with Cavarici pants.
I don't think I've ever wore Cavarici pants, so...
Guilty.
Very guilty, because if you're admitting to that. All right. So, yes, track 2 on my list would be Why Can't This Be Love? Oh, by the way, it wasn't Guitar Hero Van Halen 2 in 2009.
I'm sure a lot of the songs we're talking about tonight are. Unfortunately, that's one from Sammy that didn't make my list, but I love that riff, it almost has a like this wah effect on it. And I'll be perfectly honest, I don't know if that is a guitar or if it's a keyboard or whatever, but it just fits so well. And it's a nice merging of the two eras because it still has the heft of the guitar, but it really does kind of lean towards where Sammy's voice would suit more. I can't picture David Lee Roth singing this song.
No.
So this is one of those instances where, like So This Is Love, I can't hear either one of these two tracks being flip-flops. So they're distinctly ingrained in the era of the band they're in. It's a great pick, but it unfortunately did not make my list. Rob?
Well said. Well said. And I think actually going back a tie-in to the track from And the Cradle Will Rock, I believe that sound that you're talking about is actually a keyboard on this song as well. So that the little I think that's actually a keyboard with some effects on it on this track as well, which I always loved. The thing about And the Cradle Will Rock is the ultimate answer to people who got mad at, you know, 1984 being so synth heavy. You go, well, they were doing this like two albums ago, so you really, you know, you just missed it. So
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, another great riff, another great track from them. Did not make my list, but broke my heart to leave it off.
You see, I love this. So now I know it was a keyboard and not a guitar, but regardless, that sound that he's going for there, it almost sounds like they're trying to peel back a layer a little bit and make it not distinctly a keyboard and kind of give it a little bit more of that guitar heft, even though it is a keyboard. I just love that thought process that goes into this. And to that same effect, one of the songs I'm going to be talking about later on, that an intro to a song I always thought was Eddie, and I find out that it actually wasn't. So that's a little tease for later on.
I feel you.
So teases galore tonight on Playlist Wars. But with that being said, my track two, I'm going off of 1981's Fair Warning, which did not have a lot of hits on it, if any, I don't even think. But this is one of those songs when I think of Eddie Van Halen and I think of one of his dirtiest riffs, Mean Street comes to mind, and that is my track two.
Oh, very nice.
The guitar work is just, it's acrobatic in this song. And I love it. And it's one of those reasons that I feel like Fair Warning is such a criminally underrated album because it doesn't have any of the hits on it. But as far as I'm concerned, Mean Street is right up there with an Ain't Talking About Love as part of their history. It's just not commercially accepted as such. So I love the song. And that is my track too, Mean Street.
Well, Brian, you don't have a Mean Street in your body. Well, no. Great pick, man. Great pick. I love it. It's for one of those songs, again, that it was teetering and tottering and did not make my list, though, buddy.
It's one of those incredible, like the intro, it's like you said, it's just mind-bending almost. You just listen to it and go, what is he doing? Like, how is the acrobatic is the perfect word. That you use the absolute perfect word. Just what on earth is this guy able to pull off right now? He's only got two hands. This is what you're telling me. This guy only has two hands, but somehow it turns out true. Did not make my list, but I love that you included it.
This is interesting already. We're going on to track three now, and every pick so far has been a completely different song. And I'll be curious to see if there are any damn crossovers tonight. So Rob, hit us with a track three, man.
All right, track three. I am dipping into the Sammy Hagar era. And Woo-hoo. Same album as Gomez, but a different track. I'm going with Summer Nights.
Ooh.
Track three for the concert experience. You want something that's kind of a change of pace, something that's sort of musical in a different way. And Summer Nights is just a different feel. It's so laid back and fun, but it's one of my all-time favorite Van Halen riffs. It's so fun to play. And just a really, really nice vibe, lots of fun, and just something to sort of break the, you know, it's kind of a break in the hard rock, and it's just fun. You know, it's like, hey, let's just try and go get some girls, whatever. And so that's my track three is going to be Summer Nights off the 5150 album.
Awesome choice. I was just listening to that whole album the other day at work, and it's truly a great album. And it cracked my honorable mention, so it would be in that top 20 for me of Van Halen song. So great pick on that one.
I love the song. And you probably just got a vote from our friend Jace over at X Radio X, because he also chimed in with this song. It's an absolute fantastic tune. I feel like this is what Sammy brought to the band, because this is yet another type of song that I don't know if I can hear David Lee Roth taking the vocals on this one. And that's where what Gomez said earlier in the night, you have the showman, which is David Lee Roth, and you have the more established singer, which I feel is Sammy Hagar. But that's not taking away from either of them. But Sammy was not the jump kick in the air type showman.
Right.
He was more of the vocal acrobats, where David Lee Roth was the acrobat acrobats.
Yes, yes.
Right?
You know. Yes.
Yeah, true. He was.
I like to say David Lee Roth is like the world's most famous show kid. He's like the male Honey Boo Boo. But you know what I mean? But successful to the highest degree.
Oh,
like
my God.
He's like the most successful male pageant kid of all time.
So somehow, Rob, you were able to take David Lee Roth and compare him to Honey Boo Boo, somewhere I did not think we would go in this episode, but here we are.
This is just what I bring to the show. This is this how I get by.
That's great. Well, Gomez, track three, or Honey Go Go.
That doesn't work. It's Team Sleeveless Gomez. Remember that.
There you go.
Oh, my God. Honey Boo Boo. Wow. What just happened to our show? So I went with David Lee Roth on my third one, and it's a cover. It's a 1964 cover song by the Kinks. You Really Got Me. Truly a great song. Every time I hear it, I hear David Lee Roth's You Really Got Me with his little high-pitched voice, probably because of those wonderful spandex pants that are so tight on him. But it was a great song. I loved it. I was hearing it again at work today as I was listening to my list at work. And actually, it was featured in a commercial, which is, I kind of found it funny. Is a G.I. Joe stealing Barbie's car away from Ken driving off with her car. You know what I mean? That's one.
That's right. I forgot that commercial. That was awesome.
That was one of the greatest commercials ever. They also used it in Guitar Hero 2 in 2006. But it was kind of funny. And I remembered it off the movie. Was Howard Stern's Private Parts.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
When I think Fred comes to New York and you hear, you know, that entrance. And you're like, you see him like with the two boxes, like, what the heck am I doing here? So track three, You Really Got Me. That's what I go with.
Well, you know my love of cover songs, Gomez, but I'm going to drop a bomb here. I have no cover songs in my playlist tonight.
Ooh.
So I consider me a lucky one today.
Considering how many great ones Van Halen has, I had this and their cover of You're No Good that kicks off Van Halen 2. Were the two songs that were going in and out of my playlist for cover songs. Unfortunately, neither one made my top 10, but I love, love, love that song.
Oh, yeah. What's not to love? And it's one of the few Van Halen songs that you can kind of pick up a guitar and play. You know, you're like, yeah, I can play a Van Halen riff. And you're done. See, I did it.
That's it.
It's at least if you're able to cover a Van Halen song successfully, it's probably going to be that one. Either that one or Ain't Talking About Love are like the simplest ones that you could conceivably play as a guitar player. Whether or not you can play the solo, that's a whole other thing. But at least you can get the riff down and be like, yeah, I can play Van Halen.
Well, my track three is a riff that I cannot play.
Wow,
because
really?
I have never once tried to take an electric drill towards any of my guitars.
No,
1991's For Unlawful Carnal Knowledge, my track three is Pound Cake.
Amazing.
Reaching number one on the U.S. Billboard mainstream rock charts. When you think about that video reintroduced Eddie Van Halen to a whole new generation because everyone's like, what's this guy doing with a power drill? And how is he making that musical? And at the time, 91, you were still in that hairband era on MTV. So you were still with the Poisons and the Warrants and the Sleazebees and all these other groups that were. And then Eddie Van Halen comes back and goes, no, guys, come on. Who's your daddy? I mean,
right. Really.
Like, he just smacked the whole scene down with that song.
Yeah.
And now, look, I will say this. The lyrics are, they didn't age well. And Chuck Klausterman of Vulture.com actually called the lyrics straight up sewage drain awful. I don't know if I'd go that far, but I mean, come on. The album is called For Unlawful Carnal Knowledge. Did you not think there were going to be some songs that were, I don't know, sexual in nature on this album? It is what it is. But the guitar work in this song truly blew my mind. And it was something on another level. And I couldn't picture an Eddie Van Halen focused playlist without that massive opening to an album. And that is my track three, Pound Cake.
That's fantastic. And you got to love how Eddie Van Halen always had when he would do it live, he would have a power drill taped up like his guitar. So love the continuity there when it came time to do that one live. I love that track. great interplay there too between him and Alex during the guitar solo on that. My favorite things about the Van Halen brothers is that they play so much off each other musically. You can tell that they would just sit around and play for hours and hours and hours because they'll just do stuff that you wouldn't just think to do. But like Alex will start playing off beat on purpose or, you know, whatever, just throwing stuff around. And they write these riffs all the time. And I've got a couple coming up that are not necessarily where you would think they are if you're just counting like 1, 2, 3, 4. They don't quite sit right and you have to kind of find them. And so they do a lot of that on that track too. And I love great opening track. That's one of their best like album openers, Pound Cake. Fantastic choice.
Awesome choice, Brian. But it just didn't make my list.
Well, I'm not surprised at that because now we're through three tracks and we've got 9 different songs. Let's see if we can keep this going and go for a full 30. Rob, track 4.
Well, okay. So I'm just about willing to bet that my track 4 is not on either of your list. I'll be surprised if this makes it. I'm going the Gary Cherone era for my track 4 from Van Halen 3. I'm going with a riff that I would put up against any other riff in Van Halen canon, and that is Fire in the Hole. This song kicks so much tail in the middle of this Van Halen 3 album that is so maligned across much of Van Halen fandom and music fandom in general. A lot of people would like to forget about it. I actually kind of have a soft spot for it. I like a lot of it. There's some of it, as you and I have talked about today, even on Twitter, there's some of it that is just not great. There's some of it that it not only did it not age well, it wasn't born well. But I think Fire in the Hole, I'll put up against any Van Halen track from any Van Halen era. Great riff, great vocals. Gary Cherone crushes it on this. There's actually a moment in Summer Nights, which was my previous track, where they're sort of reestablishing the riff. Sammy goes up and does this sort of vocal oh thing. Ah, and if you were just blind and you didn't know what songs you were listening to, if you listened to Summer Nights and Fire in the Hole back to back, you could think it was the exact same singer. He sounds like exactly like Gary Cherone for about 6 seconds on Summer Nights. And so I've always found that really interesting. But anyway, Fire in the Hole. Kicks tons of butt. Major awesome. Love it. That's my track 4.
Honestly, one of the few highlights on that album. I did enjoy Without You.
Oh, yeah.
And that was a good... But again, musically, I think the pieces of the puzzle were there. The problem with Van Halen 3 to me is not that Gary Cherone is singing on the album. I love the work he did with Extreme. I love his voice. But I feel like the band was trying to say, sing like Sammy Hagar. Don't sing like yourself. And I feel like that was my big critique about Van Halen 3. They didn't let Gary Cherone be Gary Cherone, because if you listen to some of the stuff he did on like songs like Decadence Dance by Extreme, the guy can sing. But I feel like he didn't get as much of that opportunity on Van Halen 3. I feel like it was a little, maybe the songs were written for Sammy and
could be.
He just kind of tried to lay it on. I don't know much about that album. It is kind of my least favorite, and I will... You are right, Rob. None of them made my list. So unfortunately, it didn't. But that one is one of the few shining spots on Van Halen 3. So I do like the pick.
Brian, no, it didn't make my list. I don't have anything from Van Halen 3 whatsoever.
All right. Well, then we're back to you for track 4.
So track 4. So I go with now back to Sammy Hagar. And I take it off the 86 album 5150. This single reached... number 22 in the Billboard Hot 100 at that year. Truly a great song. I do like the beginning with the synthesizers, I guess you could say, or the piano synthesizer, whatever you want to call it these days. And the entrance to the song is pretty cool. And they just go into a good rock song. And it truly is a great rock song. And at the time, it was appeared in probably one of the worst movies I've ever heard of and probably never will ever see. But it was in the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, the movie. But
yes.
It did open up a lot of new a generation of new kids to listen and fans to listen to Van Halen at that time, too. So it was kind of like a good idea, but not the greatest because that movie kind of tanked a little bit. But from what I'm hearing, they got a lot more fans out of it. So track 4, Dreams, Sammy Hagar.
You realize you never said the song that whole time. I was sitting here going, I think he's talking about Dreams.
Oh, I thought I did. Oh, my God. So Dreams, yes.
No sweat.
So, but I also got to chime in. Jason, I made you a mixtape, and it's not that bad. It's me, Gina, and Michael from Michael's Record Collection all chimed in for Dreams.
Dude, that's a great song. I mean, you know, we've talked about how you and I played football at the same school. And Coach Purcell had a mixtape that he would play every time we were working out, and that song was the first song on the tape, along with No Easy Way Out from Rocky IV, You're the Best from Karate Kid. So this was like Van Halen's montage song, if there ever was one.
Absolutely. Yes, it was.
This song was perfectly made for a montage.
And that, and Coach Parcells' tape at that time was perfect for a if we won the championship montage, too, because Dreams was what we had at those times.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I absolutely love the song. It is one of my favorite Sammy era songs, but I feel like there's not as much Eddie Van Halen in that song that I'm going for with my list. So it didn't make my list, but there's a begrudging aspect to that, because I absolutely, truly love this song. It just didn't make this list because of the Eddie factor. Rob?
Yeah, great track. I can vouch, Gomez, for what you were saying, because when I was in high school, me and my guitar playing best friend, Robbie Wade, he came on when we did a Van Halen episode on my show. You know, he was the like other guy that we brought in because we love Van Halen so much. And so he and I were all the time playing guitar, you know, trying to duplicate Van Halen stuff, all this Eddie is King, you know, whatever. And when the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers movie came out, his little brother caught on to Dreams and would not let it go. And it was his gateway, his little brother's gateway into Van Halen for the next generation. So I can vouch for that. Definitely having that effect. 100% for sure.
And it's a great tune. I tell you, it's just one of those, it catches you a little bit.
It is. It's a great, you know, so much of you think about like a sports motivational playlist, and a lot of it is like dark and heavy and it's Inner Sandman and, you know, whatever, a lot of stuff like that. But it's like positive motivation. It's like good smiley motivation. You can work out and sweat and still kind of be happy about it, you know?
It's a gateway drug to Van Halen is what you're saying, Rob.
It kind of is. It's really kind of like Van Halen light in certain ways. Van Halen, it's like the free version of an app that you get, you know? And then eventually they go, all right.
It's the Cliff Notes.
Yeah.
So with that out of the way, Rob, I assume it didn't make your list?
Did not make my list, yes.
Okay. So with that being said, we're going to move on to my track 4. And this one might be a song that does get a crossover here. I think if there is going to be a pick for a song that would, I think this one is a strong contender. It's the final single that was released by the band's 74 to 85 lineup from 1984. I'm going with Hot for Teacher. Reached number 56 on the US Billboard Hot 100. And in 2009, it was named the 36th best hard rock song of all time by VH1. Starts with a drum solo. I mean, how often are there drum solos in songs, period, where they're hit songs? I can think like Radar Love, In a Gata Davida, Frankenstein, Hot for Teacher.
Yeah. Wipeout, maybe.
Yeah, Wipeout, right. But these are what I talked about, acrobatics for guitar. You listen to what he's doing on a set of headphones.
Yeah.
You think that there's like, he's like a human animal from the Muppets, because there's got to be a third arm hitting some of the drums with the, and the kick, doing the triple kick back and forth. Like, it's just insanity. And then you add the tapping going over that Eddie brings into the song. Mm-hmm. And the riff is a monster riff. I mean, it's perfect for David Lee Roth's vocals. His squeal just fits so well over this. The song just kicks all sorts of ass. And I want to give a shout out to our friends at Pop Culture Yearbook, as well as Run Eat Ralph on Twitter, who both chimed in with my track 4, Hot for Teacher.
Well done. It is truly one of the ultimate like Van Halen riffs. It's like, and one of the freaking hardest riffs ever to try and duplicate and play. Just so much swagger in that song. You're right. It is the perfect track for David Lee Roth. It sort of showcases him in his element in an absolutely perfect way. So much like bravado, and it's perfect 80s song. It's got the perfect 80s video, but I can't believe I'm saying this. Did not make my list, and nothing from 1984 is on my list. I didn't realize it until just now, but nothing from 1984 is on my list.
So, Brian, I actually had to pull a Gomez.
Uh-oh.
You know what's funny is I was looking at my list, and I'm like, wait a minute. I did not put Hot for Teacher on this. Hot for Teacher has to be on my list because, A, my wife is a teacher and she's very hot. So that's one. Two, I love this song. The video to this song is unbelievable. You got four young Van Halen kids in school. And you have the older version of David Lee Roth going, I brought my pencil. It's like the perfect song for him. You're right. Both of you guys were right. I love this song. It was popular in the, you know, those clubs that we used to talk about back in our days.
I have no idea what you're talking about. Go on.
Yep. Probably visited more than I did. Well, I probably I take that back. I might have visited more than you.
I was about to say, dude, they had your name on the.
That's a whole nother story for another day.
Do you have a reserved seat? Really is that what we're trying to say? They had you.
Yeah, VIP. He had like a whole section carved out for him. They said same as usual, sir.
Right. Yeah, you having the Gomez tonight? All right.
Yes, pretty much. And it was actually in one of my favorite football movies. I believe it was in 98 or 99. Was Varsity Blues.
I was wondering how this didn't make your playlist with it being in that movie.
Oh my God. That's why I had to pull a Gomez. I actually had a substitute for another one of my favorite 80s movies that I took it out right now. It's an honorable mention, but I'll talk about that later tonight if anybody picks it, which I doubt they will. But Hot for Teacher, David Lee Roth, that's actually my number 9.
Well, we finally have, after 4 songs, we finally have a single crossover here. This is amazing. Rob, track 5, let's keep this moving.
All right, track 5, I'm going to another one of my all-time favorite Van Halen tracks. And this is actually, when we did a Van Halen episode, I said, we got to do Right Now. It is one of the, it's probably the top track from the Sammy Hagar era. For me, the piano riff is just one of my favorite piano intros of all time. Another great example of them, and I won't really dig into it, but they're playing with timing throughout the whole song. It's really, really fascinating how they're playing with time. I have this theory that the second verse of the song lyrically is actually about the song in kind of a meta way. Mm-hmm. And I just love everything about it. One of my favorite Eddie solos ever. Sammy's perfect on it. And it's another one of those sort of, you know, kind of motivational, whatever. It makes you feel good. Like, yeah, let's, you know, carpe diem, you know, whatever. So Right Now from For Unlawful Carnal Knowledge is my track 5.
So that's actually my track 6 on my track list. Right Now, go. Sammy Hagar. It was in a movie, though. It was scored by Eddie Van Halen in the 1984 movie The Wildlife. And it was slated before David Lee was replaced by Sammy Hagar. So this was actually written during David Lee Roth. Now, think about if David Lee Roth sang this song and not Sammy Hagar.
Wow. I can't picture it.
I can't either. Because this video, first of all, the lyrics, the video, the piano playing in the background, the guitar, everything about this song is unbelievably great. The music video, if anybody has ever watched it, it's truly an interesting video because you're seeing Sammy Hagar, you see the guys in the band like kind of standing there. They're showing, what was it, like a pork bacon sandwich at one point? Like, we could be eating this now. Or what is Sammy thinking right now? You could use a condom right now. It was like, it has what a true way of getting the message out to younger generations like we were at that time, in my teenage years in the 90s. So, you know, I kind of see that as a good thing to do. I mean, I understand that it became more of a political statement later in the years, but I don't see it as political. I see it as more of a what's going on in the world at that time. You know what I mean? So for me, it's a great song, Rob. I like it. We got to chime in right now for Matt from X Radio X. It's my track 6, Sammy Hagar's Right Now.
Oh, God. Hand me the axe.
Oh, you son of a gun.
I'm the trifecta killer here. I absolutely love the song. And I mean, that piano part, I just... Yeah, I'm sorry. Definitely high contender for my honorable mention.
I was
right
about
now,
to say, though, it could be a really high contender for you right now because it could be an honorable trifecta, maybe.
Could be. It could be.
Is that the playlist core's equivalent of like an honorary doctorate?
Yes.
There you
go. All right, Gomez. So we are back to you now for track 5. Yours is filling in quick here.
Well, yeah, good and bad at my point, but you know what? Let's enjoy the rest of my list. All right, guys. So I went with a goodie one and one of my favorite songs. And I went with Running with the Devil with David Lee Roth on this one. And I'll tell you, every time I hear doom, doom, doom right there, and I just go, yes, I can't wait to hear the rest of the song. Truly great song, Running with the Devil. I love it. As being a Catholic school kind of guy, you're going, how can you enjoy it? Well, it's one of those songs you have to enjoy. Doesn't matter if you're from heaven or hell, it's one of those great songs. I think the higher above will approve of it. They're probably rocking out right now as we're speaking. It was also in one of the, I like this movie with Adam Sandler, Little Nicky.
Oh yeah.
I thought that movie was hilarious because it's Adam Sandler. I don't think it was worse as some of his other ones that he put out, but this is, you know, I get it. I get it. It's down there somewhere, but it's a little bit higher in the standards. But and it was in another movie with Scott Kahn and David Arquette? Yes, Ready to Rumble.
Oh, at wrestling. Oh, wow.
So that was in there because I'll never forget it. They were in a van with six nuns and they're singing Running with the Devil.
Gomez, that might be the worst movie reference you've ever dropped on this show.
No, I've dropped worse. Hey, I loved wrestling at that time and they had a lot of great wrestlers, so I pay a little homage to that movie.
Yeah, okay? They tried so hard with WCW to make that movie work and
they really did. WWE was still the king on that one.
Oh, yep. Man.
And also, Running for the Devil, we had a couple of people who chimed in too. Pop Culture Yearbook and Eric from Two Old Pirates Podcast.
Awesome. Two Old Thanks. Pirates. That sounds fascinating. I'm going to subscribe to that one for sure.
Yeah, thanks for chiming in, gentlemen.
So track five, Running with the Devil, David Lee Roth. Sorry, I forgot to end it.
No problem, dude. Man, that's another tough one right there. It's not on my list, but how can you not love this song? It's the introduction to Van Halen on their first album. It's mm-hmm. the first song you hear. I mean, that's like a great go-to track to kick off your playlist as well. Yeah. Anybody could easily make that one. So, I mean, Van Halen 1 is my all-time favorite Van Halen album. So no song that you can mention off that album is really going to make me go, oh, that's a bad pick. So, I mean, there really is no bad song on it. So I love it. It just didn't make my list. But now that's in a contender for my honorable mention pick of the night. All right, Rob, did it Running with the Devil make your list?
Running with the Devil did not make my list. And I'm telling you, these things are just dawning on me as we're going, but I'm sticking with my list. I have nothing from Van Halen 1 on my list either.
Whoa. Wow.
I can't believe it, being my favorite album,
I have to say wow because I'm surprised, but wow.
I mean, how can you? It's almost idiocy to even say that, but it's true.
All right. Well, my track five, here's one that I could strongly guess that nobody's going to have. This is my deepest pick of the night.
Ooh.
Okay. But look. You put out a song like Eruption on Van Halen 1, and the word gets out about this band. And then you get the haters that come in. Because, yes, kids, even back in the 70s, there were people that were going, oh, he's just drowning in distortion. And it's just a bunch of distortion. He's not really playing anything strong. Well, on 1979's Van Halen 2, Eddie Van Halen gave the middle finger to the world with Spanish Fly.
Oh, man, I love this pick.
And that is my track five. Guitar World magazine stated that Eruption turned the word guitar on its head. So what did Eddie Van Halen do for an encore? He unleashed another acrobatic, tap-infused shred fest on an acoustic guitar. I listened to this song playing an acoustic guitar for many, many years. You could put a gun to my head and say, play a single note from this song, and I'm sure I wouldn't get it right. It is just insanity what he's doing on the acoustic guitar. There's this flamenco blues speed metal thing going on. And yes, that sounds weird, but oh my God, does it work? And it's one of the most shocking Van Halen tracks because you don't expect to hear that kind of manic mayhem on an acoustic guitar like only Eddie Van Halen can do. So I'm sure this is a deep cut and probably not on anyone's lists, but I couldn't think of doing a Eddie focus playlist without highlighting this amazing tune. So track five, Spanish Fly.
Definitely did not make my list, Brian, but you really surprised me on that one.
I think that may end up my honorable mention. I didn't have the stones to put it in my list, but I got as close as I could with Little Guitars, and it's got the same, not the exact same sort of, but it's got the acoustic intro where he's sort of flexing that muscle there as well with Little Guitars. So I absolutely love it. Fully deserves to be on somebody's playlist. So I'm so glad that you included that, Brian.
All right. Now we're flipping that Van Halen record over that Rob doesn't have on his playlist. And so, sorry.
Wow.
For track six, Gomez, you had Right Now.
Yes, sir.
So Rob, why don't we hear what your track six is now? I'm very curious because there are still a ton of great Van Halen albums that haven't even been represented tonight yet. So
It's true. All right. So for my track six, I am going with the last Van Halen studio album, A Different Kind of Truth, and probably my favorite track off there, which would be Blood and Fire. It is an old riff that they had back in the day, back in the early Roth era of the band, but I think it was an instrumental at the time. And so then when they did A Different Kind of Truth in 2012, they added some lyrics on top of it. Roth did his thing. And it is, to me, I feel like they sort of had a misstep with that album in putting Tattoo, the first track, as the first single, because mm-hmm. it sort of sounded like they had lost a step. When if you only heard that song, you go, oh, okay, they've kind of toned down a little bit. The rest of the album is definitely not that. And Blood and Fire is one of those that you could have gone, man, they've still got it. And I think it might have had that album more well received upon its initial release. So for me, Blood and Fire, and in its placement on that album, just being able to say, you know, the chorus is we came through blood and fire. And it's like, man, we're still here. You know, we're 60 years old, but we're going to kick you in the teeth and we can still rock and roll. I absolutely love that track. So that's my track 6.
Awesome pick. It did not make my list, unfortunately.
Well, while Blood and Fire didn't make my list, Rob, I like the way you're thinking on track 6, because I also went with a song from A Different Kind of Truth for my track 6. Nice. And I went with my favorite song from that album, which Blood and Fire is up there. But for me, Chinatown is the musical machine gun that I felt was missing from Van Halen 3. And that insane tapping at the beginning of the song, that God knows what is happening, believe it or not, is Wolfie.
Yes.
Not Eddie, which is amazing. But the part of this song that really just melts my mind is the breakdown in the solo where Eddie and Wolfie are soloing together as father and son. Just thinking about that gives me goosebumps. It's a beautiful father-son connection. And my God, are they friggin'... I mean, look, Mammoth WVH is one of my favorite albums of 2021.
Same.
I mean, Wolfie is insanely talented. Maybe not to the level of his father, but he doesn't need to be. He's got enough talent to really drive a fantastic and amazing career on his own merit. Yeah. And you hear it on this song. And I felt like, Rob, you hit the nail on the head. Tattoo was the worst choice from that album as a first single because it sounds tired compared to a song like Chinatown.
Yeah,
and that is why I went with that one from A Different Kind of Truth. That is my track 6.
Great one. I loved seeing, I got to see that tour. And so seeing Wolfie get to play it with Eddie, you know, on that tour, and especially on a song like this where they, you know, they end up like back to back on some of this stuff. And, you know, it's just what a cool moment. What a cool thing to see. And so, you know, I'm glad that Wolfie's making a couple of appearances on these playlists as well, because he deserves it. He's got a place in Van Halen history.
Amen. Gomez?
Amen on that, but it did not make my list, guys. Sorry.
All right. Well, Rob, we're up to track 7 now. What do you got for us?
All right. I am staying with later era David Lee Roth on this one, but not going all the way back to the pre-Sammy Hagar days. I'm going with Me Wise Magic. Ooh. Off of Greatest Hits Volume 1. This is one of my favorite David Lee Roth tracks. This is the era where they just recorded a couple of songs with him for this Greatest Hits project and sort of had a non-starter of a reunion. But man, the two new David Lee Roth tracks from that album are both incredible. Me Wise Magic is one of my favorite Roth performances. It's an incredible guitar riff. The feel of it, it's just kind of... It goes from really sort of dark to really, you know, I think in the Sammy era, they were more prone to this thing where they would do like minor key, minor key, minor key for the verse, and then take it to a big soaring chorus in a major key. And that's kind of what they did here on Me Wise Magic, but with Dave at the helm. And it just worked super well. And he's got, you know, when he sort of returned, he didn't do this much, I don't think, in the early days, but he would get really close to the mic and he would drop his voice way down and say something cool. And he does it to perfection on Me Wise Magic. And so it's one of my favorite Dave tracks. So love that one. Kicks all kinds of tail.
Great pick again. It's one of those that did not make my list.
I think about that MTV Video Music Awards where David got up on stage with them and then they had put out this greatest. I really thought there was a new Van Halen with David coming out at that point.
Wasn't that the tease?
Yes, for this greatest. That was that reunion that things didn't go well after this.
It exploded immediately.
Yeah, that thing imploded quick. And that's what makes A Different Kind of Truth so amazing, that they were able to pull it together for the last group of years there. I'm glad they did. Miwise Magic ranks up there with some of the best David Lee Roth stuff. I absolutely love the track. Did not feature it on my list, but that is a strong contender now for my honorable mention. So Gomez, track seven.
So track seven, I went with another good David Lee Roth song. And I actually thought this song actually fit for him. I went with Panama on this one. And no, he did not go to Panama to go sing this song, or he didn't think of the country either. He saw a race. It was about a car. It was named the Panama Express. They consider it to be, glam metal, heavy metal, and hard rock altogether. I thought it was just a kick-ass song. Has his charismatic character, I guess, works well for this song. So it's a great song. Panama, track seven for me.
I absolutely love that pick. That was, if you go back to our hard rock songs of the 80s episode, that was one of my picks. So if you guys want to check that episode out, I can't not take the time to throw a teaser for that one. And Gomez, you're not alone with the pick. Jason Skull, our friends at Pop Culture Yearbook, our friends over in Australia at Seven Rock Lists, and Lance Levine, who was with us on the Fleetwood Mac episode, all picked Panama. Ooh. It's a great song. And sadly, it's not on my list.
Let me just tell you that with so many people who chimed in, I'm dropping the mic. There we go. I'm done. Thanks, ladies and gentlemen. No, I'm only kidding. I'm only kidding. No, it's just a great song though, man. I'm surprised it did not make your list.
I am
there,
too.
There are people who are screaming at me and Brian right now going, what? How can you leave Panama off your list? I guarantee you there are people who are having a fit right now.
But I did have it on the hard rock episode. So there is a love for this song.
Yeah.
I just, when I thought about the guitar work, I think it's about the opening to Hot for Teacher. And I think that's a little bit more of the Eddie that I'm looking for tonight's playlist.
Yeah.
But there's nothing against Panama. It's one of my favorite songs from the band.
Yeah. Well, that's what I love. These are three so far incredible lists. I'm loving all three of our lists. This might be the toughest one for the playlisters out there.
I agree. And I'm going to pick one now for my track seven that I already know Rob doesn't have, because I'm going back to 1978's Van Halen 1. Like I talked about, it's my favorite Van Halen album. But Gomez, you had Running with the Devil. Didn't make my list. You had Ain't Talking About Love. Didn't make my list. You had You Really Got Me. Didn't make my list. When I think about a guitar riff in a Van Halen song that would speak to the Eddie fans out there, the one song that jumps out at me is I'm the One.
Oh, yes.
Originally called Show Your Love. According to the Van Halen news desk, Eddie was known to play a different guitar solo every time they performed this song live, which I think is an awesome little tidbit. And for, you know, it's kind of for the collectors out there that like to pull bootlegs and stuff. Every time you're hearing it, you're hearing a different version. And that's kind of an improv style. But there's something about this song. It's hard rocking. It's almost punky, but it's got this blues swagger to it. And if you slow it down, it could be a pretty good blues tune. But the way he's doing this magic on the guitar, it just transcends it into this whole different universe. And it's just another one of those amazing songs that I feel is so underrepresented on Van Halen 1 because of the radio hits like Running with the Devil, You Really Got Me, and Talk About Love. I feel like I'm the One is up there with those three songs and doesn't get mentioned enough. It's just such an amazing, amazing track. So that is my track seven.
So true. It's full of that. When you think about Eddie Van Halen, and I think maybe especially, well, just the band as a whole, you just think of fire, you know? You just think of this, like, unbridled passion, joy that they had, and I think I'm the One is a fantastic example of that. Did not make my list, however.
That's a great pick. No denying it, but unfortunately, it did not make my list again.
I mean, look, realistically, as Rob did not choose, and I'm sorry for harping on this, Rob, it is my favorite album, so there's a little bit of a, oh, really?
Yeah, I know, it's shocking.
But I could have seriously just listed Van Halen 1 in my list and made a convincing playlist because it is a classic album. I mean, there's people that I've seen on Twitter saying, is there a better debut album?
Yeah.
And I mean, obviously, I'm going to chime in with the Cars self-titled, and I know there's a lot of people out there that would chime in with Boston's self-titled or Led Zeppelin's, but I mean, Van Halen 1 is a masterpiece.
Yeah, absolutely.
So now I'm curious to hear what your track 8 is.
All right, my track 8, I'm going back to the Sammy Hagar era. From 1995's Balance, I'm going with the last track on that. That would be Feelin'. And it's a totally different song from anything else that's on my list. And it's really sort of the, probably the emotional peak of my list. A different kind of sort of a contemplative track for them that is has this great riff that, again, plays with the time signature a little bit. I won't get into it, but if you like put it up against a, you know, click or whatever, you would go, wait, where exactly is one? But I just love the emotion of it. Sammy kills on this song. Really, really, really impressive. His range goes from sort of the basement to the ceiling. And then in the middle of it, they go to this section where they double the time as far as the drums are concerned. Drums start playing twice as fast, and Eddie blazes this guitar solo in the middle of it. And then they just bring it back down to this really sort of intimate, emotional thing. And then it gets huge. It's got everything you could ask for in a Van Halen. I won't call it a power ballad because it doesn't feel like a power ballad, but it is a ballad full of power. How about that?
I love it. It's a great pick. I love the fact that you said that. But again, it's another great song that I'm like, I'm rethinking my list now. I'm like, I feel like I messed up.
It's a hard
no,
list
there's
to
no,
make.
There's no way to mess up a Van Halen unless you basically picked, because we had put out on Twitter what your least favorite Van Halen songs were. And if you went with those, chances are you might not have done well, but no one's done any of those picks yet.
Yeah.
No, it's difficult, man. So that was definitely not on my list, unfortunately.
All right. It did not make mine either, but I have another Sammy Hagar era track in my track 8 that also plays with what you were saying, Rob, about the timing. But before we get to that, Gomez, what is your track 8?
So we could say we have a trifecta of Sammy Hagar for number 8.
That's close. I mean, we're not getting much crossover here at all. So I'm
no,
curious.
No, but we could say. Is. So I went with probably one of their power ballads from their album OU812. I went with When It's Love. It was number 1 in the Billboard mainstream rock charts. It was number 5 in the Billboard Hot 100. And actually, Eddie Van Halen stated that particular the guitar solo was a nod to Eric Clapton. So again, another great guitarist to another great guitarist, giving him a nod on that song. Truly awesome song, again with the parachute pants. Sammy, we got to love you for that, man. Got to love you for those parachute pants. You wore them really well, man. But another great song by Sammy, When It's Love. Track 8 for me.
Love it. That's in that video. He had the full blown. He had the like parachute pants with kind of the Don Johnson suit jacket, like
yes.
The like half rolled up sleeves. I think it was pink with like a black t-shirt.
It was red.
Oh, it's red. That's right. Yeah. Of course it was red. It's Sammy Hagar. But oh man, that's one of those that like the guitar riff in that is so good. It breaks my heart to not have that on my list. It's like a ballad. Should not have a guitar riff that kicks that much butt in it.
Does.
It absolutely does. And it's in, for the guitar players out there, that song is in drop D tuning, and which is normally reserved for like power riffs. And you think of like, you know, Metallica and Soundgarden and
Alice in Chains.
Alice in Chains, exactly.
Box, yeah.
But it's this like major key pop rock ballad, but he's just using this drop D for a different purpose than anybody has ever really used it before. And it's got this just killer guitar part. Great track. I love that pick, Gomez.
Thank you.
This is, in my opinion, the most Sammy Hagar solo song in the Van Halen catalog.
Great. That's awesome.
And that's what I feel like. If you listen to some of Sammy's 80s output, you think about Winners Take It All and
I love that song.
Give to Live.
Yeah.
To me, Give to Live and When It's Love are kind of in that same vein. So this definitely has Sammy Hagar's signature on it. Another song that I just can't picture David Lee Roth even trying.
No, it's perfectly made. Like there was one song I think that was perfect. Like we all said, it was perfectly made for David Lee Roth. This is one of those songs like Sammy Hagar had right now, perfectly made for him.
Yeah.
Even though it might've been written during David Lee Roth's era, but I can't picture him singing that. Now, When It's Love, again, David Lee Roth, a great frontman. So is Sammy Hagar, but he has the perfect voice for this.
Well, I'm actually going to stay with OU812 for my track 8 as well. So we do have kind of a Sammy trifecta across track 8. So Sammy wins track 8, but I'm going to go with a song that Sammy sings that I actually could hear David Lee Roth doing. And I'm actually sad they never did it on the later tours. This song reached number 13 on the US Billboard Hot 100. And I'm going with Finish What You Started.
Oh, man.
This song, Eddie recorded his guitar part on a Fender Strat that was plugged directly into the mixing console. So that's where you get that unique, clean kind of sound. It's not an acoustic guitar, but it's got this punch to it, but it's clean. And again, you think about the
country-esque guitar solo that he's playing in it when he's doing the like, that's no distortion. That is just his fingers moving like lightning on this guitar. It's a song that I've read. He wrote it like 2 a.m. and he lived in the same area as Sammy Hagar. And he went and woke Sammy Hagar up in the middle of the night and said, here, we need to finish this. And Sammy actually wrote the lyrics. Let's just say he was with his wife and he was interrupted. So he wasn't able to finish what he started.
Yeah.
And that's the funny part of this song. But it's one of the few Van Halen songs that Sammy Hagar actually plays a rhythm guitar part on. Now, Sammy's a fantastic guitarist. But I mean, when you're with Eddie Van Halen, you let him handle the guitar parts. But in this one, he does play an acoustic on this track, which I think is cool. And Gomez, here's a little TV reference for you. I've never seen the show because it was short-lived, but the song was used as a theme song to a 1990 sitcom called Sydney, which starred Valerie Bertinelli, Eddie Van Halen's wife and Wolfie's mom.
Okay. That had to be a short season because I don't remember that.
Yeah, I don't remember the show either, and I just thought it was interesting that but obviously it was his wife, so if she, yeah, but I could hear it as a TV theme song when you listen to kind of that riff. Oh, that could work. Now, what Rob was talking about before, though, about feeling the time signature, what the heck is Alex doing on the drums there? You can't tap to that beat because it's like boom. Where is he hitting that snare? Like, the more I've listened to that song a million times, and I've never once been able to just tap along with it because it's just such a crazy groove that he's got going on in this song. It's something that only Alex could do. It's a wonderful Van Halen song, and I want to give a shout out to playlister Tim McKay, who chimed in with this one. That is my track 8, Finish What You Started.
Love that pick. Fantastic.
Truly good pick, Brian. Again, I'm sorry to not make the list.
So, Gomez, with that, your track 9 has already been used, Hot for Teacher. This is reaching Tom Petty level of songs not crossing over. We're hitting on a ton of stuff tonight.
This is the problem when there's just too much good stuff to pull from.
Yeah, seriously, could not agree more. So, Rob, we're back to you for track 9.
All right, I am going with another, interestingly enough, I have no tracks off 1984, no tracks off the first album, but I have 2 tracks off of the Greatest Hits album, which only produced 3 new tracks. And my other track is going to be Humans Being, that was used in the movie Twister with Sammy Hagar, the pinnacle of coolness as far as Van Halen videos. They're all dressed in black and everything's blowing around and it was just amazing. And it was just really the first time, as far as their like radio songs, that you heard something with that kind of edge to it. I remember hearing it for the first time and not fully realizing it was them until Sammy sings a couple lines and I go, this is the new Van Halen track? Are you serious? I love this. Because it was more in line with, like, you know, almost the grungier type sound of the day that was more prevalent. As it's not what you typically think of for a Van Halen sound. It's just raw and it's great. And I hate it that it was the last track of the original Sammy Hagar era. And it, so it kind of makes me sad in that regard. But man, what a song. I absolutely love it. It's sleek, it's heavy, and it's just perfect as a Van Halen track. Another one with a big, like, minor key verse and a big soaring major chorus, the Shine On, Shine On. So yeah, Humans Being, one of my favorite Van Halen tracks of all time.
Awesome. Awesome pick. I closed out my track with Humans Being by Sammy Hagar.
Nice.
So I'll just go into my story. I usually don't double dip. I did this song in, I believe, our 90s episode.
90s soundtracks, yeah.
90s soundtrack episode. And all I'm going to say is at the beginning of the song. Now, everyone knows I love my movies, and Twister was one of those favorite movies I could watch over and over again. And I truly loved it how they went from the instrumental of the orchestra with this song. And then you hear Eddie's guitar pick up and you hear Sammy start singing this song, which was probably one of the best things I've ever heard. You know what I mean? I wish they went with that way as the entrance of the song with the orchestra playing and go right into the song. That is my only thing. I truly love this song, but just so everybody knew, I did a pull of Gomez on my number 9, which was Hot for Teacher. And I was going to go with Everyone Wants Some. And that's double dipping again because that was one of my favorite songs. And Brian laughed at me because we used this for the 80s soundtrack with Better Off Dead with John Cusack, Claymation Hamburger with an Eddie Van Halen guitar, you know, in there. Mm-hmm. again, another great song. And it won the Reader's Choice Award for Best Song in a Movie Soundtrack in 96, too. So it just, for me, this is the best way to end between the David Lee Roth, Sammy Hagar battle for me. So this is the way I ended Track 10 Humans Being.
Love it. Hand me the axe.
Kill it, Brian.
Just kill it, Brian. Humans are not being.
I do want to give a shout out, though, to our good friend, Anthony Monkey Noodles, who will probably be voting for Gomez for the 12,000th time because he chimed in with this one.
Wait, I have a four-peat going. I don't think I'm going to get a fifth one.
So I don't know, dude. I mean, I look, it's a fantastic song. I've got nothing against it at all. I just, it doesn't fit where I'm going with this playlist. So I apologize to the Van Halen fans out there.
The axe. Give him the chop.
I've chopped two so far tonight. I feel ridiculously guilty. You know what?
Lately, it has been me who's been on the chopping block.
Yeah, I feel like, man. It's
this is great for me. I've had a crossover with you, and I have a crossover with Rob. So yeah. I'm very happy where I'm at.
Yeah, you're looking good from a crossover perspective.
I just closed out my playlist, everybody.
Yeah, Gomez is done. So I'm going back to 1984. And no, I'm not going with Jump. I'm going with one of the most criminally underrated songs on this massive album. It was not a single, and it's just one of those songs that the riff is damn near AC/DC-esque. And the song, you would think by this riff, when you're talking about an Eddie Van Halen focused playlist, this song doesn't naturally come to your attention until the last 90 seconds of it. And my track nine is Drop Dead Legs.
Oh, man.
The guitar work, when you're listening to the last 90 seconds of that song, you have Eddie in your left ear playing this nice spin on the riff of the main riff of the song, but he's doing something a little bit more with it. And then there's this solo after it that just, it's a brilliant mix between his riff and this solo. It's not your typical face-melting Eddie Van Halen solo. There's a little bit of a, I don't want to say a bluesy feel to it, but there's something that he's doing differently in this. And it just gets more and more intense, and it builds you up and builds you up and builds you up and builds you up. And it's just such a fantastic way to close a song. And I feel like this song should have been a single, and I'm actually sad it wasn't. So obviously, Gomez, I know it didn't make either of your lists because you're closed out and Rob didn't choose anything, but Drop Dead Legs, track nine.
Fantastic track.
It's a great pick, Brian. I mean, I can't say anything bad about it. Just I closed out my list, so you know it was definitely not on mine. So.
Rob?
I love it. And that's one of those. So, you know, I mentioned earlier that I think Fire in the Hole sort of stands up with any other Van Halen riff. And I think probably in the Dave era, Drop Dead Legs is the closest thing to that kind of riff. It has that same sort of vibe. You're right. AC/DC influence you can kind of hear in there in the chord voicings and that kind of thing. And I think this is a riff, honestly, that any of the three Van Halen lead singers could have made a great song out of. I could hear Sammy doing something amazing on it. I can hear Gary doing something amazing on it. It just feels so good. You're right. It's just great. And then, yeah, his guitar work at the end is just out of this world. He was out of his mind on that track.
All right. Well, we are closing things out now with our track 10. Gomez, yours is Humans Being. Awesome tune. Rob, what are you closing the night with?
All right. So mine was you got to send the folks home happy, right? If we're thinking of this as a concert, I saw Eric Clapton a few years ago and left going, man, he played for like 2 hours, but I can't believe he didn't do Layla. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so this is one that I think if people went to a Van Halen concert and they didn't hear the song, that they would walk away going, that was unbelievable. But the hardcore fans would go, I can't believe they didn't do Unchained. From Fair Warning, then my second track off Fair Warning, which is my least favorite Van Halen album, but somehow two tracks from it made my list. Maybe the greatest single guitar riff of all time, depending on who you ask. I've definitely heard, I know, Dweezil Zappa has a podcast called Running with the Dweezil, in which they go, it's all Dweezil Zappa just talking about Van Halen, which is great. And he calls this the greatest guitar riff of all time. And it's everything you could possibly ask for from a classic Van Halen track. It's got the energy. The riff is mean and monstrous, but yet it's in a major key. sort of got this, you know, it feels good. It doesn't feel dark. And Dave is at his best. It's got everything you could possibly. It's even got one of those goofy Dave breakdowns with the, you know, hey, look at you, you know, whatever. And the producer, you hear him, come on, Dave, give me a break. One break coming up. And it's like, that's stupid, but it worked so well. And it's amazing in this track. And then they just come in and punch it right back to the chorus. So one of the quintessential Van Halen tracks. I had to close my virtual concert with Unchained from Fair Warning.
You just nailed in my honorable mention song of the night.
Ah.
I'm saying it right now before I even say my track 10. Unchained is my honorable mention song of the night. I also want to give a shout out to Mr. Know-It-All 5000, who also picked Unchained. I was flip-flopping Unchained and Mean Street until like an hour before we started taping.
That's where I thought you were going when you originally said something on Fair Warning. And I was like, oh no, Mean Street's a great pick too.
So I have to use that because I was literally arguing with myself. Oh, this one's really good. Oh, this one's really, oh, which one do I do? Which one do I do? Now I don't have to have that problem anymore. That is my honorable mention. I absolutely love the song and it speaks to where my playlist is going because it is the quintessential Eddie song. But how can I close an Eddie playlist without Eruption? Track 10, I'm not even going to say anything about the song.
One of the great pieces of musical art of all time was Eddie Van Halen recording his warm-up, basically, you know, and it just turned the world on its ear. It's insane the level of artistry and mastery that he displays in that, you know, 90 seconds and the way it's impacted music for generations just based on that single thing coming out of people's speakers. Just unbelievable. I can't believe I didn't put it on myself, but I went a different direction. I'm glad somebody did, though.
Well, look, we've gone in three completely different directions. We not a single trifecta, not even close, because I hatcheted two of them. I apologize, gentlemen. But I mean, we have so many great songs that we've talked about tonight. Before we get to our honorable mentions, though, even though mine is already a dead giveaway, I want to shout out some of the other people that chimed in, because here's a bunch of songs we didn't even touch. Eric Benson wrote in with Amsterdam and DOA.
Oh, yeah.
Jason Skull wrote in with Best of Both Worlds. T. Jones wrote in with Hear About It Later. Nice. Tim McKay chimed in with Ice Cream Man. Matt from the Pick a Disc podcast and our friends Seven Rock Lists down in Australia wrote in with Jump. A person, that's their Twitter handle, chimed in with Love Walks In. Our good friend Anthony at Monkey Noodles chimed in with Mine All Mine, as well as The Seventh Seal. And Jace from the X Radio X podcast chimed in with Somebody Get Me a Doctor. And Top Jimmy, the first one, Somebody Get Me a Doctor, was in and out of my playlist a lot. And then we actually got, for the first time ever, people just throwing full albums at us.
Exactly.
So Leah from She Will Rock You said, can I get the entirety of 1984? If not, I'll go with Jump.
There we go.
Our good friend Lauren from the Beard Owl podcast just wrote in all capitals, so you know she means this, the entire 5150 album. Just the whole thing. I don't need anything else. And then our friends over at the Friends Talking Nerdy podcast chimed in with For Unlawful Carnal Knowledge, saying it's the only Van Halen album I hear Roth fans begrudgingly respect, which is a great talking point there.
True.
So with that said, there's a ton of Van Halen songs we're talking about tonight. Now is our chance on the episode for us to go back and tip our hat to one of the other two people this evening with your honorable mention pick of the night. I have tipped my hat to Rob going with Unchained. And now, gentlemen, if you will each chime in with your honorable mention picks of the night.
My honorable mention first pick is going to be And the Cradle Will Rock. One of those songs I wanted to be on my list, but it didn't make it. So I had to go with it, man.
All right, Rob.
And mine. So I'm going to complete the circle. If we were standing in a circle, you tip your hat to me. Gomez tips his hat to you. I'm going to tip my hat to Gomez. I'm going to go with When It's Love and add When It's Love to my honorable mention. When he said it, I was like, no, man. Yeah, that's the one. That's the one for me.
Nice. Well, I appreciate that, man.
Well, we have three ridiculously different playlists, not even an honorable trifecta tonight, but these are all fantastic. Like, this is going to be really hard for the playlisters to decide because it's three different mindsets on a band and they all work so friggin' well. So, Rob, our esteemed guest, why don't you take us through your track lists, track 1 through 10, as well as your honorable mention one more time.
All right, track list, starting with track 1 is going to be Little Guitars, intro followed by Little Guitars. Then So This Is Love from Fair Warning, Summer Nights off 5150, Fire in the Hole from Van Halen 3, Right Now off of For Unlawful Carnal Knowledge, Blood and Fire from A Different Kind of Truth, Me Wise Magic from Greatest Hits Volume 1, Feeling off of Balance, Humans Being off of Greatest Hits Volume 1, and Unchained from Fair Warning to close it out. And my honorable mention is When It's Love off of OU812.
Nice. So for me, track 1 was Ain't Talk About Love. Why Can't This Be Love? Wow, I didn't realize I went back to back on love songs there. Track 3, You Really Got Me. Track 4, Dreams. Track 5, Running With the Devil. Track 6, Right Now. Track 7, Panama. Track 8, When It's Love. Track 9, Hot for Teacher. And track 10, Humans Being. And my honorable mentions, And the Cradle Will Rock.
And that is what I kicked my track list off with, And the Cradle Will Rock. Track 2, Mean Street. Track 3, Pound Cake. Track 4, Hot for Teacher. Track 5, Spanish Fly. Track 6, Chinatown. Track 7, I'm the One. Track 8, Finish What You Started. Track 9, Drop Dead Legs. Track 10, Eruption. And my honorable mention, Unchained. Three very distinct, amazing playlists tonight. Now we turn it over to you, playlisters. Head over to PlaylistWarsPodcast.com. Go to the Van Halen episode page and vote for which one of the three of us you think got it right. Rob from the Great Song Podcast, this has been an absolute blast. Why don't you tell people where they can find all the amazing things you guys are doing over there, as well as some of the incredible music you've been putting out that I wanted to make sure you were able to chime in about as well.
Oh, man, I appreciate that. You can find the podcast at just about any social network at Great Song Pod. Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, all under those same handles. We also have a Facebook group that's a lot of fun. It is called Great Songs and the Great People Who Love Them Greatly. Or you can just go to facebook.com/groups/GreatSongPod. It's all there. And you can catch all of our archives and episodes at greatsongpodcast.com. And as Brian was so kind to mention, I did just put out a blues EP, and it is called Also Ran Blues Man. And it was my goal to be able to get it into the Blues Top 20. Upon release, and actually we made it into the top 5, which I was shocked about. But we had a lot of very kind listeners of the show who bought it and listened, and you know, friends and family were all very supportive, so every little bit helps, you know. So Also Ran Blues Man, it's available everywhere on all the streaming places.
Absolutely fantastic. I highly suggest picking it up. I was saying before we got on the air, your voice kind of gives me that Joe Cocker-esque vibe to it, which I think is just an amazing fit for blues, and I absolutely love it. And I wish you all the best with that in the show, and hope you come back again, man. This has been an absolute blast. Thank you so much.
Same here. It's been my honor. A lot of fun.
Thank you again for joining us tonight. My head editor, head of everything, Brian Colburn, thank you for everything you do for this show. And then
he's well-established.
Well-established.
Head producer, head...
I prefer executive. Executive. It has a nicer ring to it. It sounds more like I'm in a boardroom editing right. This thing and not my closet.
I can't thank you enough, Brian, for everything you do for the show. And I got to thank all the playlisters. And we'll see you next time when a new battle takes place on Playlist Wars. Good night, everybody.
You can find Playlist Wars on Facebook and Twitter at Playlist Wars. On Instagram at Playlist Wars Podcast, on email at playlistwars@gmail.com, or via voicemail at 201-644-6498. That's 201-644-6498. If you listen on Apple Podcasts, be sure to leave a 5-star review and be sure to tell a friend or multiple friends about the show. Until next time, thanks for listening.